Welcome to the Specimen Insight Series, where we discuss the people, ideas, technologies, and conversations that are important to medicine, research, biobanking, human biospecimen procurement, and more. Blood and other bodily fluids, including saliva, urine, and spinal fluid, can tell us a lot about our health. It has spawned a red-hot area of diagnostics called liquid biopsy, a market projected to reach $9 billion by 2026. Liquid biopsies, now in their infancy, can provide insights on circulating tumor DNA and other molecules shed by cancer cells for signs of cancer. iSpecimen is aggressively working to help a number of liquid biopsy developers by supplying them with large volumes of blood and other biofluids for patients with and without cancer. Today we go to the source and speak with Eric Langlois, iSpecimen's Senior Vice President of Sales and Business Development, who works directly with a number of liquid biopsy developers. What exactly is a liquid biopsy?
It's a good question. If you think of a traditional biopsy, it's surgical. Let's say you have a nodule on your lung. They're going to go in with, usually these days, it's a fine needle aspirate. So you're actually going to have to go into a surgical suite, get all prepped. They're going to have to go in and basically puncture your lung with a syringe and suck out some of the potentially malignant cells. Traditional biopsy is actually a full surgery. So if it's not something like lung cancer, if you're talking about kidney or ovarian cancer or pancreatic or something like that, you're actually going to go in and have a full surgical section where you're going to have a piece of the tissue taken out. Now, some of them are less invasive than they used to be. So all of it's trending into like microsurgery and all sorts of different things. So there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat. But what if you can just pull a tube of blood, run it on an assay, and tell you whether or not you have a malignancy? It changes everything. The biggest problem with cancer right now is people don't want to go. They're afraid of bad news. My dad is almost 70. He still has not had a colonoscopy, and it kills me, because if you catch colon cancer early, it's very, very treatable. Catch it late, and hate to be morbid, but it can be a death sentence. And that's pretty much the standard with all cancer. It just has such dramatic potential to change the way that the cancers are treated and found.
Can one test detect all cancers?
Not currently. I would be starting with individual indications of cancer. I think anytime you look at a pan test, in my mind, it lacks precision. But, you know, there are companies out there that disagree with that. There are companies that think that they can take a tube of blood and run it across all cancer types. I mean, how incredible would that be? Say you're 35 years old or 40 years old and you're just sensitive to it. You've had cancer. It's touched your family in every generation. You know, maybe you're one of those families that's affected with Lynch syndrome, which is early colon cancer. Usually they get it in their 30s. There's no real one size fits all kind of thing. But if you were in a family like that and you knew you had a genetic predisposition, how incredible would it be to just have a couple tubes of blood pulled and they send it off to the company that runs that test and you could immediately tell your risk assessment for every cancer?
Can you tell us a bit more about the liquid biopsy market? And what do you think are some of the most promising liquid biopsy solutions in development?
Liquid biopsies in general is pretty exciting. The key, at least in cancer, is to detect things early. All cancer is not eminently curable, but certainly the percentages go up dramatically if you can catch it in situ, which is stage zero, or at stage one level, whereas a lot of the current screening technologies only allow us to catch them late. Think of ovarian and pancreatic and some of the more embedded cancers in internal organs. They're almost impossible to find with our current screening methods. When you think about the ability to pull just a single tube or a couple tubes of blood rather than do a biopsy or surgery or even a CT scan or something like that, if you can detect something there, you can catch it a lot earlier and you have a lot more outcomes that you can pursue for that patient. So it really impacts millions of patients potentially. It not only impacts their survival rate, but also the recurrence rate, actually curing people of cancer. In terms of the most exciting ones, I mean, right now the leads seem to be in colon cancer. I know people have been trying to develop them in ovarian cancer for a very long time because that's probably one of the hardest to find early. But, you know, there's individualized cancer tests, and then now there's also what they call pan cancer tests, where they're trying to develop both ways of doing them on an individual basis and then across the entire landscape of cancers. No matter how you cut it, it's pretty exciting and it's rewarding to help these companies try to execute these development cycles.
What do you think are some of the primary obstacles around the development of liquid biopsy products?
It's interesting because I don't think the sponsor companies look at the obstacles the same way that we do. But for our purposes, the biggest obstacle is time. A lot of times these companies have these great ideas of a project that they want to execute, and they just don't allow themselves enough time with their deadlines to actually collect the patients. Because the key thing about liquid biopsy tests in terms of what we do in collecting patients is they all have to be custom collections. Most of the time, people need the amount of plasma that cannot be found in a retrospective inventory. So you need months, if not years, to execute even the most basic of collections in this area. Time is definitely the biggest obstacle and the one that we probably diverge from the client the most. The second would be budget. A lot of times these companies think that they might be able to find plasma that's sitting around where they can get good data from it. So they kind of budgeted it based on a retrospective collection rather than a prospective collection. And obviously that's where we have to kind of get in line of what their expectations on the spend is versus what it actually costs to execute that project. And then the other things are just little minute details about the collection. So certain consumables, certain equipment. We've had clients that not only need a specific spin speed or centrifuge type, we've actually had a client stipulate the exact model of centrifuge that had to be at every one of our sites. So those things can be a challenge. And then just trying to plan out the study and making sure that the experimental design matches what the client actually intended would probably be the other thing.
How is iSpecimen supporting liquid biopsy development?
We're executing the collection in terms of the setup and the recruitment of sites to execute it, the recruitment of the donors, screening them in terms of they make sure that they meet the inclusion-exclusion criteria. Then, of course, the kit building, the training of the sites on the collection, and then the execution, tracking, and management of the collection. So I think in terms of, you know, other ancillary services, our marketplace comes into play in that scenario where you're not necessarily searching for samples up front. We do hope to have that capability for prospective collections eventually, but we're able to at least manage the collection on the marketplace. So clients can get their real-time view day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month on how their collection is going, download their data that way. And it's a much more traceable version of doing these types of studies where in the past, a lot of it was done on paper. I think the other benefit is the fact that we've already built the network. We already have them under IRB approval. We already have their consent in place. So if you, the sponsor, wanted to go out and do that on your own, I mean, you'd be starting from scratch. You'd have to go out and find sites that have the patient flow. You'd have to get them on your IRB. Those processes take months and cost tens of thousands of dollars to set it up. And oftentimes one site isn't going to be able to do it. You might have to do it at 3, 4, 5, potentially as many as 10 sites to execute a basic collection. And with these liquid biopsy tests, it definitely seems that the donor numbers or the cohort size is oftentimes of a large variety. So you're talking about, you know, in the hundreds, if not thousands of patients. So they're quite complex studies.
What are some of the biggest challenges that your liquid biopsy clients have come to you with? And what solutions were employed to overcome them?
I think the biggest challenges have been kind of misconceived notions of what the standard of care is. A good example I can give is a number of clients come to us and they want to execute a study like this, and they will tell us based on the sensitivity of their assay or the exome sequencing that they're doing, they need some massive volume of blood. Just in the last week, we were requested for over 30 mils of plasma. To get 30 mils of plasma, you need to collect over 100 mils of blood from a potentially diseased patient. That is obviously against the standard of care, it's beyond minimal risk. So we have to reset their expectations down to the fact that, all right, your maximum is 50 mils. So realistically, you're going to get somewhere in the range of 12 to 15 mils of plasma after you've collected the blood. That misunderstanding of clinical care and what IRB-approved protocols can actually accomplish is usually the biggest obstacle with these clients because it's tough. They come in, they're very smart people. These are all PhD, MD scientists. They've been in the market for many, many years. They're developing science that's really exciting. My team is in the unfortunate position sometimes to be the grim reaper, where we have to be a realist and tell them either what they're asking for is beyond the standard of care or it's beyond minimal risk. So for me, that's the biggest obstacle we face. But I think for the clients, I think trying to just find a single vendor that can help with this. I had a pharma company tell me a year or so ago, they have over 80 vendors in the HBS space, that's human biological specimens. And that's a massive number of relationships to maintain. And if those vendors aren't set up in a way like us with multi-site, multinational kind of capabilities, you might need multiple vendors on a given project. That means multiple contracts. That means multiple orders. It also introduces a lot of bias into their studies. Obviously, there's a number of obstacles you can run into here, but I think, you know, what we're trying to build, which is kind of a single source, single vendor relationship that gives access to what used to require potentially dozens of separate contracts, is a pretty exciting development for these companies because it will really streamline at least the research that goes into setting up these kind of studies. There's a million obstacles you can run into in reality.
What advice would you give a client organization that's starting the process of specimen collection in support of their research?
Start earlier than you think you need to. You have to properly budget this because pricing out there in our industry is kind of the Wild West. What we do is a little bit different. We're revenue sharing with our sites. So if something costs us $500, you know $250 are going back to a clinical care institution. For us, that's an altruistic thing that we can feel good about, that we try to pass that value proposition onto the client. So even if we're not the most economical price, at least that's something else that they can use to justify their spend, because it's a nice cyclical arrangement where they're trying to research patient care, develop for patient care, and then ultimately half their spend will go to patient care. So that's a pretty cool thing that we bring to the table. But you know, you have to have an understanding of apples to apples, because not all vendors are the same. So they really need to do their research ahead of time. The worst thing that they can do is plan out a study and then try to go after the human samples. And all too often, in my 20 years of experience, that's what companies do. They think about the idea on the whiteboard, or they think about it in a box, and then they say, all right, we're going to go out and get it. And sometimes use their partners and their CROs, their labs that they're using, they use them to help them go out and find samples, only to find that the samples they want to get are not available, or there's something in their study that limits it. And then they have to make compromises. I think the key is bringing in a partner like us earlier in the process. You know, maybe not the design, you're not going to share the science with us, but use that consulting that's available to you and the people that have been doing this for a long time. Use it, because they can tell you at a very early stage, before you ever go to execute the study, what the challenges are that you're going to face, or what criteria is limiting your study, or the difficulty in how the execution is going to come off based on the way it's currently designed. So I think that piece is probably, you know, the most important, is just starting early, getting all the information, finding a partner that you're comfortable with, that you can trust, that you think can execute the study well before you ever need them.
How can increased access to specimens and patients help with future research collaborations, specifically with the liquid biopsy research?
For liquid biopsy research, access to as many patients as possible is the primary concern. Most of these studies are large. In order to generate enough validated data to ever come out with a test like this, you're talking about thousands of patients. These companies that are developing liquid biopsies really are kind of executing clinical trials. It's not in the clinical space. It's not tied to a therapeutic, so it's not a trial. So obviously, the larger the network, the larger the access, the faster these companies can get a cohort built, and the faster they can get samples in to do the analysis that they're doing. And then obviously, the faster they'll get to the data they need to eventually, you know, get a test out in the market.
What are some of the promising liquid biopsy solutions in development?
The number of companies that we're working with that are looking in colon cancer are vast, and some of the collections we've executed are pretty large. So, you know, we're not the be-all, end-all of information gathering in this area, but if we just base it on what we've done, that seems to be the biggest investment. That seems to be the closest. But for me, I still always come back to the one that's ovarian cancer. And just because it affects so many women out there, you're talking about potentially affecting their reproductive health. And it's really hard to biopsy into image. And almost all ovarian cancer is caught stage 3 or stage 4. And when a tumor involves the ovary, it tends to engulf the entire ovary. And then, you know, whatever poor woman has had that, kind of has to make an immediate decision too. If they have the molecular genetic marker, they might decide to take both ovaries out. Because even if it's only affected one ovary, if they have the genetic profile of predisposition to cancer, they're just as likely to get it on the other ovary, even if they have that one taken out. So a lot of those patients have a hysterectomy at that point. That's the one for me that I don't know if it's the closest, but I feel like it's the most important. It affects so many women, and it affects them so deeply and personally in that way. And there's just nothing that helps them right now to find that early. So for me, that's kind of like the gold, holy grail of these liquid biopsies. In terms of closest, I mean, the colon ones seem to me, at least, to be the closest.
Learn more about the marketplace, where you can browse millions of richly annotated, de-identified tissue and biofluid biospecimens. Or to request a quote or custom collection. You can join for free, and creating a login is easy. Visit our site at www.ispecimen.com to learn more. Thank you for listening. Until next time.